What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Sing Music Mondays, my favorite day of the week. And as you can hear, I got a little sniffles. I'm not really feeling too well. But guess what? I show up anyway. That's what I do. And I gotta introduce my man, my co-host, my brother, Kyle Hunter, also known as K-Sparks. What's good, man?
Yo, what's up, Jay? What's going on, man? I know you got the sniffles, man, but we still here, man. We putting in that work.
Yeah, we still here, man. I woke up today, so you know what I'm saying? I'm thankful. That's all I can be.
Hey, man, alive and blessed. That's what we say. We alive and we blessed, man. You know, it's like, remember that movie, Antoine Fisher? He was at the door. He's like, I'm still standing.
Yes, classic. Yes. Man, but right now I need some gems. What is today's word of the day?
See, I know what it is, man. Every week, every Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sync Music Mondays, man. Just financial literacy for your music, helping you attain all your goals, man. And we always got the gems. So today's word of the day, y'all gonna see it up on the screen. Average people have great ideas, but legends have great execution. I'll say it again. Average people have great ideas, but legends have great execution. And I think pretty much, like, at the end of the day, like, it's pretty much basic, like, in terms of trying to achieve your goals. You have ambition, but I think that amazing people are the ones that are able to apply action to their thoughts. So a lot of people will say, hey, I want to be a millionaire. And that's cool. Who doesn't want to be a millionaire? But how are you going to execute? How are you going to get to that? And like we said before, we talk about SMART goals, right? They're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. And when you start to execute with SMART goals, what you'll do is become a realist in terms of achieving your goals. So we always say, you know, great people are great at executing. It's not just a hoop dream. It's not just a want. They actually can make a plan to make that happen. So, you know, keep your dreams, keep your goals, but always apply execution. And that is the word of the day.
Now, today's episode, it's a little different. It's a special episode. We got to show love to y'all, the listeners, because we appreciate you. And guess what? Today's Listener Appreciation Day. And we got two very, very special listeners in the building. Ladies and gentlemen, my man Nation, my man JB, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, fellas? Chilling, man. Blessed, brother. Can't complain, man.
Dope. What's up, Nation? How you feeling, man?
I'm good. I feel good.
That's what's up, man. Like Jay said, man, you know, we just showing love. Listener appreciation. We're going to do this more often because we got a global base, people all over the world, from China, London, Africa, Australia. So this is a great way to just spread love back and just kind of give the listeners a platform, man. So I guess to get started, like, where y'all from?
I'm from New York City. Every borough. I'm repping all boroughs. You already know. You from New York City, you just can't be in one borough. You gotta rep them all. That's just how we do it.
I'm from New York as well, you know what I'm saying? Hailing from Queens, New York, you know what I mean? What they call the North Side, you know. Yeah, that's where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? But like Nation said, I'll be all over, you know what I mean?
That's what's up, man. And like, what kind of music do y'all do? Like as far as, like, you know, for the listeners that might not be familiar with y'all or your music, like, what type of music do y'all do? And well, you know what? Actually, pause that. Before we even talk about that, how did y'all get started in music? That's what I want to know. Like, where did y'all get y'all starts in music at?
For me, I started writing poems when I was a little kid. And I really was into hip hop, you know what I'm saying? The first record that I actually heard with hip hop was it was a song called Showdown that my pops had. It was a vinyl record that he had. And I had this little Fisher Price record player that they used to let us play like stories and read books with back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so I took his record and I was just playing the instrumental for whatever reason. It was the song called Showdown from the Sugar Hill Gang. It was Sugar Hill Gang and Furious Five, I think. And, you know, I just kept hearing it. And I was, for whatever reason, I was like, man, I love this. So one day I took one of my poems and I tried to say it to the beat. And that's kind of how I started like rapping. I didn't really know what rapping was really. Like I heard it, but I was like, I didn't like compute like, oh, this is rapping. You know what I'm saying? So I just liked it. And then from there, you know, family members heard it. Of course, when you're young, everybody wants to encourage you like, hey, baby, go do it. So, I, you know, I kind of got that. Then I started, you know, getting better. It was something I was good at. You know what I mean? So I started, you know, writing some more, started rapping. And of course, you know, in the beginning, your raps ain't all that good. You know what I'm saying? But as you go out on the block and other people is rapping, then the competition starts. And you just want to get your respect on your block. So, you know, and then it grows from there. So that's kind of where it started for me, like real young. You know what I mean? I thought it was like, I don't know, man. Honestly, I thought it was like 5 years old when I heard that record. And I started taking rap real serious when I was like maybe 12, 13 years old. So.
Dope. What about you, Nation? Like, when did you get your start, like, in music? Like, how was it for you in the beginnings?
I started music a while back, but, you know, it was more so I used to do, like, R&B. I used to be a singer. I ain't gonna lie. But my aunt got me into doing music because she thought I was a good singer because, you know, I used to walk around the house humming. She was like, oh, you can sing well. I'm like, So I started off as a singer, and I had a whole singing group. It was called Promise. But we ain't go too many places besides the projects in the hood. That's what we used to sing at. But then I got into hip hop. One of my favorite artists was Tupac. I used to wear his bandanas on my head and write poetry. Now I wasn't repping Thug Life. I just had the bandana on my head. But that's why I started doing hip hop. I mean music as a singer at first.
Dope, man. That's fire, man. I mean, you know, well, we all have our starts, you know what I mean? Like, and I think, like, music is a universal language, so at the end of the day, it's something that not only do you vibe to, but like they say, it's the soundtrack to our lives. So regardless of where you grew up, music is just something that always plays a part, like, for all of us. So in terms of, like, where you guys are at now, like, what type of music do you make? Like, what's like your specific style, would you say? Because even like when people talk about hip hop, right, there's so many different dynamics. You got trap, you got drill, you got conscious, some people say backpack, Christian rap. So what type of style, stylistically, are you guys working on right now?
I guess for me, I, to be honest, I don't even know how to categorize, you know what I mean? If I had to, I'm a Christian. I grew up with, you know, I grew up doing what they call, I guess, boom bap rapping, you know what I'm saying? Like, what some people say the authentic, you know what I'm saying, hip hop. But I can play with different styles, you know? I like to play with different styles, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes you'll hear me, you know, I try not to rap the same way, you know, every time. As far as content goes, I try to give some sort of edification in my content. You know, I don't really do too many party rhymes or, you know, kind of like club music. I'm more so leaning on the side of what people would say, like a Nas as a comparison to, like, you know, maybe a Jay. Even though they both have, you know, a little bit of both, you know, I'm leaning towards kind of probably opening your mind, or I'm saying some things that are personal, you know what I mean, to me. Plus, I'm a Christian, so, you know, that comes out. I don't consider it gospel rap, really, because I'm not only rapping about, like, the gospel. I pretty much try to rhyme about my life. And since I'm a Christian and I actually, like, live that life, I'm not just rapping about it. Like, it's going to come out, you know what I mean, naturally, if you're listening. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, I guess it's one of them things that y'all can go listen to and then make a judgment for yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. What about you, Nation?
I would say for me, mostly, I would call it like feel-good music. It's basically like what my heart feels I should be writing at that moment. So if I'm listening to an instrumental and my heart is telling me to write about whatever the topic is, I could write about God one day. I could write about the streets one day. It depends on how I'm feeling for that moment. So, you know, it's like feel good music for me. So like right now, the songs that I'm doing, like right now, I'm working on a song on an Afrobeat. That's something I've never done before, but that's what my heart is telling me to do. Do it on that Afrobeat, and it's sounding good. So whatever comes to me, that's how I write music.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fact, man. You know, at the end of the day, like that's the name of the game. Like, you know, diversity. You know, like they say, diversity is the spice of life. And being true to yourself too, like not necessarily chasing trends, but being authentic, being like 110% yourself, like that's fire, man. So yeah, I love to hear it, man. I guess you know, because we love like doing this like financial literacy for musicians, like we passionate about it, like we love giving back. So, you know, I guess a question that me and Jay always like to have is like, you know, what blockages do you guys face right now in regards to like music, like or your own musical career? Like, what would you say is preventing you from really getting to where you want to go right now, ideally?
Well, honestly, I think for myself, currently, I think that I'm kind of getting to where I want to be. The space that I'm looking for right now is a little different from the space that I used to look for. You know what I mean? I think my goals a little bit have changed in music, and I gotta say, like a lot of the things that you guys say on your shows, some things that y'all bring out is very helpful. Like, you know, with the information that you share, because it allows you to put yourself in a space to, like, you know, everybody doesn't have the same goal in music, you know what I mean? So for me, the goal right now for me is to be able to create on demand, like to create when I'm feeling it, kind of like what Nation was saying, when my heart is telling me to create something. I don't have the pressure of like, I gotta, you know, do this many projects in this amount of time or make this many songs in this amount of time. I don't feel that pressure anymore. So I'm kind of in a space right now where you know, I want to be. But the blockages, to answer your question, the blockages that I did face was like promoting myself. I don't think that, for me, I don't think that I'm the best self-promoter or the best networking person. I'm a little more introverted, you know what I mean? So as an artist, sometimes that can help you in the creative process. But then after the creative process, if you don't have somebody who's kind of extroverted to get your stuff out there, then it kind of just sits with you. You know what I mean? So that might have been one of the blockages that I faced. I think social media and all that stuff kind of helps now. But, you know, that was a blockage that I did face.
Got you, man. No, but that's real talk. And, you know, I think like to a lot of it is being able to self-assess, like that helps really successful people, because it's like if you're aware of your deficits, then you can make them become your strengths. Right. So it's like playing ball. Right. Like if I know I'm right handed, that's my dominant hand. And everybody always see me going right when I go to the hoop, but they get hip to that. Well, now I got to work on my deficit, which is my left, you know. And I think like with musicians, a lot of times it's okay to be honest with yourself that, yo, I'm not good at everything, right? Just because you're a talented musician doesn't mean that you're cut out to be a manager, right? Like, you know, you need to hire people that are good at what they do and they've got that skill set to help you. So that's a gem right there, man. We got another listener on the line, man. Chicago in the building. What's going on, man?
Okay, my bad about that. K-Sparks, what's going on, baby? How you feeling this beautiful afternoon, my boy?
What's up, man? What's up? What's going on, man? Chi-Town in the building.
In the building, man. Trying to make it do what it do, boss. I appreciate you, you know, letting me be here.
Of course, man. Of course. You already know what it is, man. It's all love, man. Sync Music Mondays, man. Shout it out, man. Tell the people where you from, man. Tell them your name and everything.
All right. Well, you know, I'm from Chicago. My persuader was K-Sarim. You know, that's my name backwards. My name is Merrick. So I'm actually doing something that I'm doing something that my mother didn't want me to do. She wanted me to sing, right? So I just wasn't with it. You know, I wanted to do rap and everything else. So I'm doing a little backwards from what she wanted. So and it's sort of like a kind of demeanor, but I'm an actor, musician, teaching myself how to engineer. I'm trying to push out the middleman from everything I do, save more money in my pocket and get more knowledge so I can help those that want to do the same thing.
Definitely, man. Yeah, you know, that's what this is about, financial literacy for musicians, because, you know, with me and Jay, like, we so passionate about this and, like, just crushing down the stereotypes, because everybody has that status quo of the struggling, starving artist. And we don't adhere to that because At the end of the day, we firm believers that artists can live in abundance, you can walk in abundance, you can talk in abundance. You don't have to be this struggling artist that's trying to make it. And a lot of that goes into how artists were taught, because for us growing up, a lot of it was, yo, you got to get a record deal, right? Like, that's the only way that you could be successful. You got to get a deal. And if you don't get a deal, you could just chalk it up, right? But we actually seeing that old model diminish right in front of our eyes. Like, it's like a great financial literacy revolution for artists, because when you look at sync placements and you getting checks for like 15, 20, 25,000 at one time, 30,000, that's life-changing for a lot of artists. You know what I'm saying? And that gives you the platform to be able to have that creative freedom to work on the things that matter most to you. So, yeah, you know, like, we're big on that, like, teaching artists, look, you don't got to be this struggling artist. There are ways to monetize your music. There are opportunities out there. And it's dope, man, to hear from y'all directly, like, you know, what y'all working on, what you got going on, because that's important to us. You know, like, there is no us without y'all. So, you know, we appreciate just, you know, hearing from y'all and everything, man. So what you working on project wise, man? What projects you got going?
Man, I got like three projects in the workings. One of them is with a group of guys that I've been doing music with. We call ourselves the Wave Runners. It's called Splash Mountain. That's going to be the title. So in between that, I'm working on two EPs myself. I don't really have the titles for them yet, because I'm about halfway through them, and I'm really just trying to, you know, once it's done, listen to it and pick the best name that would describe what I'm doing. But one of them is strictly like rap, and then one of them is sort of like kind of emotional, you know, just kind of talking about the ups and downs of actually life, you know, instead of just making some songs. This is like, you know, feelings, emotions, things that people really do go through and people really do connect with. Because, you know, with music can take you back to a certain time in life, and it can pinpoint the exact date, the exact time that you heard it, and it bring back so many memories. And not only that, music can actually help people. You know, some people are too afraid to express what they're going through, but if they can hear another person that's strong enough to express it, and they can help them out, you know what I mean? Music has helped me out. There's been times I've been down and I go listen to a song and it helps me get through it. So that's pretty much what I'm into it for. I'm not really trying to be the Billboard top 10 or, you know, extra famous, but I do know there's other avenues in music that I can go through as far as like the sync placement that I'm so glad you guys are doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's fire, man. That's fire. Well, we happy to help, man. That's what we hear, man. It's like, you know, paying it forward, because that's what it's about, man. Like, no crab in the barrel mentality. I remember, like, coming up, I'm sure Jay could attest to this too. It's like, you know, the culture, like, musically is like dog eat dog. So if this person got a connect, they don't really want to share their connect with you, because, you know, they might be intimidated, like, yo, you might end up getting more work than them. So they don't really want to share contacts, you know. And it was kind of like that even like with the sync licensing space. Like, if a person's got a plug with a certain outlet, they ain't gonna hook you up, because they like, yo, that's my comp. Like, I do rap, he do rap. I don't want to plug him in because that might be less work for me. But that's a bird mentality, you know. Like, and we as a people and just as a music community, you know, we always just try to foster community building. Like, we big on that, and you know, and it starts like this, you know, having open discussions about, well, all right, man, what are your struggles? You know, what are your obstacles that you face? And all right, let's see, you know, hey, you got a hammer, I got a screwdriver, we could build something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just sucks that people have that crab in the barrel mentality. You know, they don't want to support you from the ground floor, but when they see that you've made the progression, now here they come. Oh, put me on, put me in the video, yada, yada, yada. But you wasn't there to help me build this solid foundation. You know what I mean? And you know, I just don't get it. I see other states like Atlanta and other places that, you know, they come together and they help each other. Texas, you know, it's just that I'm in Chicago and, man, it's a crab in the barrel. Don't nobody want to see you leave, do better than them or anything like that. I don't know. It's just basically trials and tribulations of what I'm going through. But I'm just pushing through it one day at a time. trying to do the best that I can and trying to be the best artist that I can and stay true to my morals and values and don't waver for anything.
That's fire, man. And speaking of the scene in the Shy, I saw you posted something before. You was with Twista. Like, so, well, yeah, how's the coach over there, man? Like, you know, just business-wise and stuff like that, man. Because Twista's a beast, man. He a lyrical monster, man.
Yeah, no, what it was, they asked me to star in his video because, you know, I'm an actor, so they asked me to star in the video. I did the video. I talked with him a little bit. I didn't really want to press him for, you know, hey, that's work or do this like this. I believe in developing a relationship before you go asking for something. Because if I don't know you, you come ask me out of the blue, I might look at you sideways. You're like, you know, you ain't even take the time out to even know who I was. Not what you see, but who I am. You know, so you have to build a relationship with these people. And then from there, they'll see your progress. And if they want to work with you and you bring it up, you know, more than likely they'll work with you because they see what type of person you are. You have to let them know who you are before you just go and approaching them and trying to conduct some type of business. And I think people forget that a lot of these connections come from communication and actually getting to know someone beyond the surface level of just being an artist.
Facts. That's a gem, man. Actually, there's an episode I'm gonna do with Jay, and it plays a part in that. I call it the three C's, right? So for like any artist, and yo, all the artists listening, this is a big gem right here. So we always say follow the three C's, or even in business, right? Whatever you want to be successful at, you got the three C's. So the first C is content, right? Second C is community. Third C is commerce. Now, you notice we put money last because the money's going to come. If you build it, the money will come. You can't chase the money ahead of everything else. Content comes first because whatever industry you're in, if you're an artist, what type of music are you putting out? Like, what distinguishes you from your competition? You know what I'm saying? Like, is your music special? In what way is it special? You know, when you look at artists that succeed, Kanye came out the gate rapping about dropping out of college. Who does that, right? But he won so big because he was so relatable and so honest. Like, who talks like that? You know, even Eminem talking about killing his baby moms. Like, who talks like that? But, right? But keeping it a stack, he won big because it's like he was so different and he was so authentic. And, you know, the more honest you are, the more transparent you are, what you start to realize. And, you know, I travel the world, man. It's like I've done shows globally and it's like no matter where I'm at, I realize that we have more in common than we do different. You know, everybody has stress. Everybody has issues. So it's like the more transparent we are, that's how relatable we are. So that's why I always emphasize content first, making content that's true to you. Second is the community. Because like you said, that talks about relationship building. So, you know, you can't come out the gate, somebody say, yo, man, you know, let's do a track or, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's a turnoff. You know what I'm saying? It's like, no. Like, so building that sense of community, and that comes from your content. When you got that great content that's relatable, you build up a strong following. You look at, you know, Dreamville, you look at TDE. These are labels that have huge followings, huge sense of community where they believe in what they're doing. You know what I mean? And then the commerce is last, because once you got those first two, you go and make the money. You go and make the paper. You know what I'm saying? Don't chase the paper, man. Just be authentic, be true to yourself, and everything else is going to follow, you know?
Yeah. Like I tell people all the time, before you think somebody gonna invest in you, you gotta invest in yourself. You know, because if you look like you don't invest in yourself, why would I invest in you? And you know, I just look at things from a different perspective. That's all, than a lot of other people. But the problem is, I see it's too many followers. If somebody over here talking about guns, drugs, sex, money, and murder, and he's selling, well, the next person about to do the same thing. That doesn't separate you. You know, you're just a follower. You're a follow culture. You know, you spamming on what you can do to try to do what he's doing. But you know, and people can pick up on that. And the only people that actually rise to where they want to go are the people that's being true to themselves and putting out the true music that's to them. And people identify that way.
Of course, without a doubt. And you know, you spoke on, you know, and that's powerful too, because you know, like I grew up in South Jamaica, Queens, during the 80s, the crack era. So it was a lot of violence, a lot of crime. You know, you coming from Chicago, I'm pretty sure you're privy to that that culture as well. You know, a lot of people now, they're talking about Takeoff, you know, God rest his soul. And, you know, before that, you know, PNB Rock, Pop Smoke, like the list goes on and on. So, you know, that's something I wanted to touch on with y'all too, collectively, like everybody that's participating in this panel right now. Like, what are your thoughts on all that? You know, I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, we got to do better. That, you know, culturally, it's like we glorify negativity. And in terms of like with hip hop, how it's just so negative and it's dog eat dog. And it's like, all right, you got your set, I got my set. You know, I ain't showing no love to your set. And it's so much animosity and it's so much aggression. And, you know, you got one side of the coin that says, well, we got to stop that. Then you got another side of the coin where like, well, that's our reality. It's like, yo, if I live in the hood and this is violence and this is aggression, you know, I deal with like aggression every day in my neighborhood and it's violence. And then, you know, and then if I want to try to fit in the white corporate America, you know, then I got to deal with microaggression, right? And a lot of people, if you don't know what microaggressions are, those are the things that minorities deal with on a day-to-day basis, right? So like if you get in the elevator and a white woman clutches her purse, that's a microaggression, right? It's like, oh, I'm putting it out there that you're going to rob me because you're black, right? These are like the subtle things. Or like, you know, if you go in the store and, you know, a white patron pays, nothing happens, and you go up there and they holding up your dollar bill to the light to make sure it's not fake. That's a microaggression. So I say all that to say is like, you know, with minorities, like we deal with a lot. And a lot of people say, yo, this is our life, B. We got to articulate that in the music, you know. So I say all that to all of y'all. Like, what do y'all feel is the remedy? Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Be honest. Oh, good.
People just gonna keep doing what they're doing. You know what I mean? It's hard to change. It's hard to change people. People have to change because they want to change. And if they stuck with that same mentality, it's really nothing that you can do. You know, you really just have to. At that point, you really just got to worry about yourself and make sure you're doing what you need to do. You know, you can try, and it's always good to help others. But if they don't take heed to what's going on, you can't make them. And that's just my perspective. Like, hey, I'll try to teach you as much as I can or get you to understand as much as I can about it. But, you know, ultimately, it's up to you. I can only do so much. But before I cause myself so much stress and this and the third and dealing with all the aggression and everything, I'm just going to just remove myself from it because you're not going to bring me down. What you do has an effect on me, you know. If I steady put myself around that, nah. I might be bringing myself down too.
I think a lot of it is like is different, like you said, different perspectives. And like the brother from the shop was saying, you know, he thinks differently from most people, right? So like I think that a lot of us have something to offer, you know what I mean? So, and as it pertains to music, I think that's why there's so many different styles of music. I think if everybody was authentic, then it would be more beneficial. The problem is that, you know, like you said, everybody, you know, this is working. So talking about guns and killing and all drugs and all that is working. So I'm going to go do that. Or talking about partying all the time is working. So I'm going to do that. Then when the shift came, you know what I'm saying? Like with the Kendricks, Coles, whatever, then it was back to conscious. So, oh, this is working now. So, oh, I'm going to go do that. It's like,
Jay, you know what, Jay? Yo, and not to cut you off, bro, but I wanted to ask you a question. So here's the question, right? Mm-hmm. Is it that it's really working or is it that that's the agenda? It's like, you see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, it's like you said, all right, when they was pushing Kendrick and Cole, they're like, oh, this is working. But right. What it shows us too is like, yo, you remember back in the days of music we was listening to, like, yo, we had Tribe, we had, yo, you know, Zulu Nation, and that was working, right? Because that's what the labels was pushing. So I kind of feel like, you know, that music does work and people always want it, but it's the agenda, right? It's like, yo, who are these labels putting money behind and why are they pushing that agenda? Why are you pushing the agenda of negativity? Why are you pushing the agenda of, you know, money over bitches, fuck bitches, right? Why is this our narrative? You know what I'm saying? We went from kings and queens to now it's like, yo, you know, chicks talking about I don't need no man. You know, it's like all these derogatory, misogynistic just forms of music, and they pushing it. So to your point, yeah, that's a great question. It's like, you know, it's kind of like brainwashing, right? Like,
hypnotism.
I don't listen to the radio because they play the same crap all the time, you know?
Yeah, it's like hypnotism. It plays a part. I think they both play a part in each other, right? So like, for example, when Tribe and them came out, we glorify them now in hindsight. But when they first came out, people wasn't saying that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they first came out, people was calling them whack. Oh, this is, you know what I'm saying? So, like, because remember, it was, like, hardcore. And even though, you know, like, the artists like Rakim and all of them, they were considered hardcore at the time. It wasn't like he wasn't talking about killing and all that. He was even doing knowledge, just, you know, himself. But the way he was coming across, the delivery was more hard. So these guys were more laid back. They were more like, you know what I'm saying, peace and love and that kind of vibe. But, and at first, I'm pretty sure they had an issue too. You know what I'm saying? But once they broke through, and the labels are always late, they always like, oh, these kids, and I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've literally seen it. I've seen, you know, people shun artists. I've seen A&Rs, like, I was right there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at Def Jam, seeing A&Rs pull a CD out, play like 15 seconds of it, crack it and throw it in the garbage. You know what I'm saying? And like, nah. But then some of those same artists, when they put their work in, you know what I'm saying? Like my man from the Shy was saying, he said, once you put the work in, right, and you do it yourself, invest in yourself. So a lot of these artists would invest in themselves. And then as it grows, that's when these labels start hearing the buzzes and they come later on. Like the same artists that they were threw in the garbage, they would go to their show and they would see about 500-600 people packed in a small little spot. And then they'll be like, oh, they might be a little something to this kid. And that's when they want to start messing with you. And that's when it blows up. And then once one label tries it and it blows up, then all the other labels go, oh, this peace and love thing is working. Okay, we need an artist like that. That's why if you look at all the labels, they all have their own version of, you know what I'm saying? Like an artist. They had Eminem, then they had, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to start naming people, but you know what I'm saying? Like you start to see, nice, you know, oh, this is their version of that kid. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so that's kind of how it goes. But what I'm saying is, like, as it relates to people and their mindsets, I feel like when I listen to music, sometimes I, like, for example, back in the day, it's more global now. But back in the day, I know I keep using you as an example, my brother from the Shy. But no, what's your name, bro? What's your name, bro?
Just call me Queso.
Back in the day, I didn't know nothing about the Shy until I listened to Common. You feel what I'm saying? And then I'm like, oh, okay. And Common was one version of the Shy, right? Then I heard Twista, and I lost my mind because I love Twista, right? So I heard Twista. I'm like, oh, there's another version of somebody from the Shy. Then I hear Bump J. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, there's another dude. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know what I mean? So you're hearing all these different perspectives, but now each one of those artists give me something that I could be like, oh, I ain't think about that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I ain't think about this. Oh, I didn't realize, like, for example, gang culture is heavy in Chicago, right? Gang culture is heavy in LA. I didn't understand really gang culture. Only thing I knew about gang culture was what I was seeing from the music. When I got older, I spoke to some, you know, some cat. I like got some family connections and, you know, people who grew up in that. And they're like, yo, out here, gang culture is not, I was thinking of it differently as a kid listening to the music. I'm thinking, oh, if I want to join the gang, I have a choice. I could just, oh, if I want to be a blood, I just, you know, do what I got to do, whatever it takes to be a blood. But these kids grow up on this block. So it's not like if you grow up in this certain section, you a blood, bro. Like,
you're not given a choice.
You're not given a choice.
You're so like, affiliation.
Absolutely. So these are the things that music gives. It gives information. You know what I'm saying? So I think that if everybody's authentic with their information, until somebody came out and did a song like, yo, like someone like Kendrick, who's like, look, I grew up around these guys. These are all my guys. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not necessarily in this gang, but I'm affiliated, you know what I'm saying, because this is where I grew up. It wasn't like I had a choice. And these are the things that allow people like us from New York who the culture's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? We have more of a drug culture, at least in our time frame when we grew up. Now it's gang culture, but when we were growing up, it was more drug culture, you know, crews and things like that. So like these are all information we're exchanging with each other all across the country. So as we are as authentic as we are, this is how we get this information and we're able to kind of graph that to our lives, like take the parts of it that we can use. You know what I'm saying? Like instead of everybody just doing the same thing and then we all think the same way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you made a good point. And I think too, a lot of it starts in the household too, because, you know, unfortunately, where you got a lot of single parent households, if you got a single mom who she's trying her best, she's working 2-3 jobs,
right?
You got a latchkey child who's basically just raising himself and he's living off of the microwave, right? He doesn't have that guidance. So unfortunately, it's like the person that's guiding him is who he sees. And if he sees on TV the rappers, then that's who he's mm-hmm. gonna be like. If he sees the local hustlers, even though it might be negative, you know, when people, you know, when they don't have opportunity, they create it, right? So it's like, yo, you're gonna be a hustler because you're gonna get to the bag. So these kids, they wanna be what they see. And, right. you know, I think, like we said, it's a catch 22 because, yeah, you know, these guys, they're street poets. We're street poets, right? Like we mm-hmm. rap about what we've experienced. So you can't really, they can't really blame the music 110%, you know, because everybody can't be Kendrick, you know, same way everybody right. can't be Jadakiss, right? But I think at the end of the day, as long as there's a firm balance, that's probably key. I feel like the music industry nowadays is not balanced. And because right. it's off balance, you don't have, you know, for every little Kim, you don't have a Lauryn Hill. You know what I'm saying? Like we had balance. There's no balance no more. So, you know, right. that's key. You know,
I think people need to stop portraying themselves as something that they're not, and I think that's a big problem too.
Right.
I think that's putting people in predicaments of danger when they're portraying to be someone or portray a life that they're rapping about, but that's not them. So when they're actually approached with that situation, they don't know how to handle it. You know what I mean? And that's why I was saying, like, people just need to be true to themselves. Okay, it's okay to like if you hear somebody rapping about money, murder, whatever. You know, okay, it sounds right. good to you, fine, but that does not mean that you have to try to run in those footsteps. You know,
absolutely.
Do what's natural to you. Absolutely. You know, and you'll get farther than trying to imitate and copy what you see working over there, because it's absolutely. Working for them, but it doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Yep. And it also gives you, it gives people a chance to see themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like if you, cause some, like, for example, somebody like me, okay, cool. I'm a Christian. I grew up in the hood, like Sparks knows, you know what I'm saying? Like what we grew up around. But at the same time, I wasn't a street dude. You know what I mean? I understood it, but I wasn't a street dude. I also grew up in church. You feel what I'm saying? So if there's another kid out there that's like me, who's not like all churchy, and because that's not me, you know what I'm saying? So if there's another kid out there who maybe sees me and can relate to that, you know what I mean? I might bring that balance as opposed to them having to make a choice between a super churchy rapper that they see who's like, I don't really relate to that. And then they're like the super street dude who they like, well, I don't fully relate to that, but I kind of relate to this a little more than that. And then they gravitate all the way, you know what I'm saying, to that. And like you said, they get themselves in situations that they don't really know how to handle. You know what I'm saying? So if everybody's themselves, it's like it gives them a chance to help someone else who can actually relate to them instead of like that persona. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it just amazes me how many people came out and wanted to start putting red flags in their pockets, screaming absolutely. Blood, this, that, and the third, right? But wait a minute, you're grown. You know, you're grown, and all of a sudden you claiming blood because that's the end thing. So let's say you go someplace and people know you for claiming blood, but you're not. But you go out to some club. Now you got some Crips around here or something that really want to see about if you really about that life. So you put yourself in a predicament to lose everything you worked for. What? A lie, right?
Absolutely.
When you could have just been truthful and let people connect with your brand and know what type of person you are.
Right.
And really, you know, really get your core fans. Not people that just listen to you, but your core. And, you know.
I think both sides will respect you.
That's
because you being real.
That's a big fact, man. And, yo, we just had Slim Kid Trey from the Far Side. And Trey was talking about that. Yeah, he was talking about, like, the L.A. culture and how, like, gang culture is, like you said, Jay, it's different out there in L.A. Like, that's a thing. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he was saying, for them coming up, like, Yo, they got family. Everybody on the block was into that, but they weren't. And they respected them for that because it was like they were authentic. And like they rapping about chicks passing them by, other fish in the sea. But people respected them because they were real. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, just being authentic, being true to yourself. Like we said, that content, man, goes back to them three C's. Content, community, commerce. Like you can build anything you want, but it starts with your content and who you are, being true to yourself, you know?
Definitely, man.
Well, yo, this was fire, man. This was fire, gentlemen. And we just appreciate y'all, man. And yo, just bigging y'all up, man. So, yo, tell the people, I guess, one by one, what y'all got going on, how they could check for y'all and tap in with what y'all got going on.
All right, well, I'll kick it off. Like I said, my name is K-Sirem. You can Google me everywhere. K-C-I-R-R-E-M. The last is K-So. That means keep shit official. Not only do I do it with keep shit official with everybody, but I most definitely keep shit official with myself. You know, I'm an actor, so, you know, you can check me out on killingtheartstv.com. I got three projects coming out, but you can also check out my previous works. Just by Googling me, man. I'm willing to work with any and everybody who really loves music and that's true to themselves, you know. I love to network with people. I love all type of music. I'm not stuck to a genre. If I listen to it, I like it, I'm off to the races with it. So, yeah, search me up. Put in KSO, KSO, or just K-Sirem, and I'm trying to be everywhere where there ain't never there.
Nice.
Dope. Fire.
I guess I'll go. My name is JD of Duality. JD of Duality. Y'all can, and that's because I'm part of a group with my brother Paul Rivers Bailey, called Duality, but my solo
shout
stuff
out to
is P. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But my tag is JD of Duality. Y'all can catch me everywhere, pretty much just type in JD of Duality. Most of my music is on all the streaming platforms, so you could just type in JD of Duality as well. I'm doing, I have a podcast called the Christian Experience Podcast, so y'all could just type that in Google and pull that up. I got another podcast coming soon. It's going to be called Say Word. And my music, and you can catch my music and all of these things in at jsdunkpro.com. jsdunkpro.com. Y'all can catch everything there, if you know, unless y'all want to go straight to the streaming platform. So that's that. That's me.
And that's D-U-N-K?
Yeah, D-U-N-K. jsdunkpro.com. And you can catch me. My DJ is jsdunk. So that's the website. So y'all can catch all his mixes, all of my music, you know what I'm saying, up there, and everything else that we do in the podcast and all of that stuff is there.
Yeah, big shout out to JS, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Dude.
Hey, yeah. I want to thank y'all for what y'all doing, man. Like, really, I really appreciate y'all taking the time out of y'all day to give us knowledge and help us along the way and let us know that there's more than just one way to get your music out there and to be heard. And, you know, I'm just grateful, man, for all the information that I've been able to obtain from you guys. I watch it every Monday. I get my pen and pad ready. I know I can go back and watch it anytime, but, you know, I have a different learning curve. I like to write it down, review it, and so I can really stick that way. But, you know, it's a blessing that you guys are doing what you're doing. I've been, like, it's funny because before you introduced this to me, I was really trying to figure out ways to get my music to commercials, TV, movies, and things like that of that nature. So when Sparks, when you reached out to me, it was like, it was golden. It was like, it was sent. And I'm like, well, you know, I realized that. And I said, hey, you only get one opportunity. So I was just gung-ho on it. And I'm just trying to do the best that I can. So I really, really, really appreciate what you guys are doing and taking the time out to do it for us.
Yo, listen, man, we appreciate you, brother. Because, you know, at the end of the day, like me and Jay say, man, like, humble's the new cocky. So, you know, we're not cocky dudes. Like, yo, we love... It's a blessing to be a blessing. You know, that's how we were raised. So it's like...
I like that song, too. Humble's the new cocky.
Yeah, that's it. You know, that's it, man. That's how we give it up, man. So, you know, it's a blessing to be a blessing, and we just gonna keep going, man. Like, we got a lot more knowledge. We got a lot more music supervisors we got coming on the show. A lot of big guests, a lot of big platinum selling artists. So we just gonna keep it coming every Monday like clockwork. You know, like, that's what it is, man. You know?
Yo, I wanna ditto that too, man. I do wanna say to all the people that's listening to this and watching this, man, like, you know, I just want to speak to your character for a minute, like, just to say Sparks is one of them people that do, like, he likes to share information. You know what I'm saying? He will share information, you know what I'm saying, to help artists. So the things that he's saying to y'all, like, he's personally called me, like I said earlier, you know, I always had an issue with networking and trying and, like, promoting myself and all of that. And Sparks would be like, yo, Jay, like, he'll get on me. Like, yo, Jay, you need to do this, this, this. Like, yeah, the content's good, man, but you got to do this. And, like, push me, I'm saying, he'd be like, yo, here goes this information. Here goes this. He'd send me links, all of that. So all the stuff that he's doing for you guys, like, he's been doing for his circle for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
So I agree with that. I agree with that.
Fact. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can speak to a guy, bro.
Yeah, you know, I think what you guys are doing is very informative because, you know, it's a lot of struggling artists out here, you know. A lot of struggling artists looking for gems, and you guys are dropping them gems, man, you know. And I really do appreciate the show, and I wish you guys much success in the years to come, which I know is going to come. That's just guaranteed.
Right.
I believe if we, like, promote positivity and put it in the air, that it all come back to you. So I appreciate you guys, and thank you guys for the platform.
Definitely, definitely, man. Tell them about yourself, Nation. Tell them what you got going on, man.
I mean, right now, I've been working on a project. I don't have a name for it, but I'm putting together a whole lot of songs. You can find me on Instagram, go on the Score Nation, Twitter, go on the Score Nation, or on YouTube, it's the number 2, Reach a Nation. I have some of my music up there. And I also have some of my music on you know, the streaming, like sorry, on Amazon Music and all those other streaming places. You just Google Nation, Go Nation.
Dope, man. Well, this is fire, man. You know, shout out to y'all, man. Shout out to all the listeners, man. And just keep it locked. Y'all know the vibes, man. We here, man. My man Jay, he here, man. Cold and all, 10 toes down.
Yeah, struggling over here. But we appreciate y'all tuning in every single Monday. And you already know, till next week, we out.